Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about rebuking in the last show. And one of the things that we could be rebuked about is our neglect of the Christian way. And today is, according to some Jewish calendars, is the Day of Atonement. And Judaism has a view of this atonement, this repentance in Judaism, this teshuvah, and, you know, it's Yom Kippur. And I've been attracted to this day for years and years ago, and I would take a kind of a day off, and I would just take a walk on the desert on the Day of Atonement as a tradition. But now I kind of realize that every day I'm walking in the desert, because there's very few people who have actually repented. A lot of people want to think that Christ saved them when he died. Christ died that ye might be saved. You still have to repent. And repent of what? That's the question. Repent of what? And in the last show, I was giving you some hints as to what to repent of. Repent is about direction, turning around. And Christ was about the way. And the way was a certain way. And there are certain ways that are not the way, but are actually opposite the way. And most churches are there to say that it's okay to go the opposite way because you're just automatically saved because you said these words. And it's simply not true. And it's lulled people into the opiate of religion, but it's false religion. Because true religion is about opening your eyes and seeing again. And we give you facts to break the scales off your eyes, so that you can learn to see, but you must learn to see with spiritual eyes. You must see, my gosh, this is so obvious that this is not righteous. It's not a righteous way. And this is a righteous way. And then we don't need to do all this studying of eschatologies. It's simple. Those ways that are not submerged, immersed in forgiveness and giving are not of Christ. So we say, come together. Why? Because it's easy coming together? Well, no, sometimes it's harder because you have to do all that forgiving. Forgiveness requires humility. Forgiveness is not absolution. It doesn't do away with their sin. It does away with your usurpation of God, because every time you don't forgive, it's because you think God's not doing his job. And so you think you need to judge. Judge not. Forgive. Leave judgment to God. He's the one who absolves sin, not you. You forgive him from your point of view, but he may still be answerable to God. Simple stuff. Not complicated, but so much different than what you're hearing from other people and other religions. We have to turn around and go back the other way. Do the other thing. So I have a number of things that I was going to talk to you about. We touched on some of the policies of the network. And one of them is that we do rebuke. We do point out, because as many as we love, we also rebuke. Revelation 3:19. And we see it again in Titus. We see it again in Timothy. And we talked about that in the last show. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, teachings. In Luke 17:3, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Don't separate yourself. Don't abandon him. You know, people, they have to, I'm not leaving. If God puts me here, I'm not moving. You move. I got to go where God puts me. I'm not leaving. just because it's convenient. I'm leaving when God says to go. And the Old Testament is rampant with these same ideas. Proverbs 2:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. Whose counsel? God's counsel. Wise man feareth and departeth from evil, and the fool regeth and is confident. What is evil? Coveting thy neighbor's goods. Depending upon a system of benefactors who exercise authority one over the other to provide you with welfare. Foolish! You should be departing from evil, not getting out of the system so that you don't pay your tally of bricks, but start depending upon others for your straw, for your leeks and onions, for your aid, for your assistance. Home health, home agriculture, CSAs. What is that going to require? Networking, connections. And networking connections not dependent upon the internet, but upon face-to-face touching of one another in a larger and larger network of people scattered all over the planet who care about one another as much as they care about themselves. Does this mean we all have to wear straw hats and suspenders 2.5 inches wide and grow long beards? That's a uniform. Our uniform is virtue. Are you coming together in virtue? Are you coming together to sacrifice for one another? Or to feel like, I belong to the better church? You're not supposed to belong to the church. You're supposed to belong to God. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Or 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Well, don't shut them too much because you need to rebuke one another. Don't misuse these quotes. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so I mentioned TDAs in the last show, so I should probably talk a little bit more about that. And several web pages were created this week. We just finished re-editing Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, which is a book that looks at contracts, covenants, and constitutions, and what the Bible has to say about if you were to write up a constitution. There are 5 things you're to include in that constitution to regulate your king, to keep your king from becoming too autocratic and too dictatorial. And you should put these 5 items in your constitution. That's what the Bible tells you. And yet people are telling me that the Constitution of the United States is a biblically inspired document. Then why does it only have 1 of those 5 items in it? It only has 1 of the 5 items the Bible tells you to put in a constitution if you're going to have somebody who can exercise authority over you, a ruler, a president, a prime minister, a king, or whatever you want to call him. It's the guy in charge. If you're going to have him, you need to put these 5 items in the rule book, and your priests, your judges, need to read him that every day. Well, you can read them the Constitution every day, and they won't mention 4 of these items because they're not in there. And the 1 item they did put in there, they don't care about it anymore. They disregard it. And if you want to know what all that I'm talking about, go read the book. It's free online. If you want to help finding where it is, join the network at thelivingnetwork.org or preparing you or His Holy Church. Just join the network in your area. And ask for someone to be your PCM, your personal contact minister, and he knows where to find that, and he'll help you. Or just seek it yourself, and you'll find it. It's not hard. Well, anyway, we put out at least 2 articles this week, additional articles. We also had an article on schools as tools, and that went out on newsreviews.com, and that's the second part. Third part, we'll be sending them. It's pretty much done, but actual local articles that we put out was Democracy Cult, the Democracy Cult, and the Imperial Cult of Rome is another page that we link to off of that. And of course, we have new audios and programs on what a cult is. And you can find all that through the network. There are people there who know where these things are, and they can tell you. If you don't want to join the network, you don't have to join the network. But why don't you want to join the network? Because you don't care about other people as much as you care about yourself? Ah, it's so much trouble. I just want the answer for myself, and then I go off and do my own thing. And I don't really care about anybody else. I just want to be free, and I just want to, I just listen to the show for entertainment purposes. Well, I hope that works out for you, because I don't think it will. But anyway, we had a guy on one of the groups down south, and he was talking about these TDAs. And I believe what he's talking about is the legacy treasury direct accounts, which they mentioned in the statutes, and you can look them up and all that kind of stuff. And usually they're used by the states, but there may be a place where you can use them as individuals. But somehow or other, he thinks this is what Christ was doing, because Christ was sitting, settling, and he was right about that. That's the thing, and interesting, when you have certain information and you're right about it, and you've got this fact, and you say, oh, well, I'm right about this. Oh, and I'm right about this over here. So I must also be right about this. Not necessarily. And he even admits he doesn't have the logical mind. He depends on somebody else who has a logical mind. And I wouldn't be surprised if that fella, in order to help you form your legacy treasury direct account, eventually wants you to write him a check. I guess there's usually some sort of money motivation in all this. And, a good con man doesn't con you. He gets somebody else to con you, because he cons that guy into working for him. And he goes out and does the con, because he actually believes the con man. And the con man kind of tries to stay, as the puppeteer in the background. But anyway, this Treasury Direct account, the idea is that you pay your money into that Treasury Direct account, and then if you have bills, government bills, you pay them out of that account. And states do that. It has to do with the flow of revenue. And you can do that too. And somehow or other, he thinks that you maintain control over your funds. But really, you're still putting your funds in what? A treasury. It's just a treasury direct account, but it's in the treasury. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:20? But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. So what's he talking about there in that? Where he's, or thieves do not break in and steal. So he's talking about not putting up your funds in a treasury. Yet this guy is saying that Jesus was creating treasury direct accounts, that you would have control over your treasury direct account. But he says, lay not up for yourself treasuries upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And then he repeats that in verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, how do you do that? Well, first you have to have a connection to heaven. And so these are the spiritual connections we were talking about in the previous show. They show a pattern where you're casting your bread upon the waters in hopes that it comes back to you. So you're letting go. You're making sacrifice. You're doing Corban, means sacrifice. For what? What's the Corban for? To take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society in pure religion through free will offerings. That's not a treasury, a central treasury, because, see, you give to your local congregation, and your local congregation gives to you, chooses to give to you and help you out. And then they give to another to help them out. And they give to another to help them out within the congregation. But, of course, you have to give to the minister so that he has something to give. And 10% of what you give is really for him. And there's 10 members of your congregation. So you have to give 20% for him to have something to give to somebody else. Now, in our case, most of our ministers give far more than they receive. As a matter of fact, most of our donations come from ministers and out of their pocket and not from the elders. Because they're just starting to make the connection. They're just starting to do the baby steps back towards the ways that lend you freedom. Now, we're just doing this sometimes in monetary, sometimes in time and energy that people expend in order to build the network. But that's starting the flow in this right direction. And eventually it will cure Ebola and even worse diseases that have been patented by governments. It's been patented by the government. I'll give you the patent number in another show. But anyway, the point is that he's talking about a spiritual flow of energy that will pull you in the right direction. We'll say, hey, don't go down that road. Don't go down that alley. Don't go down that hallway. Go down this one. If you went down that one, you would die. If you go down this one, you will live. He will actually control your steps that way. But he will let you make the choice. But you have to begin making choices that are not selfish choices. That are selfless choices. Humble choices. Servant choices. The minister is the servant of the congregation, but the congregation is the servant of the ministers and each other through the minister who simply facilitates their charity. You do this all the time with the blood in your own veins. The capillaries carry most of the blood, but eventually they feed into an artery. But if the blood doesn't get into the capillaries, it isn't going to feed the body and the body's going to die. Just saw a show the other day about somebody who had a blood clot that interrupted the flow of blood to his arm for about a half an hour. Eventually he got it back, but there was nerve damage. Now he can't use that arm. It's injured permanently. He's trying to get it back, but it's injured. And sometimes there can be great pain with those types of blood clots that damage, just depends on how the damage is. You need that flow, that circulation through the whole body, or parts of the body dies. This is why you have to have a network. And the local network is essential to the local group. So therefore, most of the edification is within that local group. That local group, though, if it really has a spirit of love of neighbor, will care about the next group as much as it cares about itself. And if you're not doing that, I rebuke you strongly. Because most of your churches aren't doing that. Most of your churches, you just go there to feel good. If you have any need, you go to men who exercise authority. The flow is the wrong direction. The flow is not according to the spirit and policies of Christ. The flow is actually anti-Christ. Because Christ said it was not to be that way with you. So we have to repent and turn around and go the other way. Wow. So the Treasury Direct account he's talking about is diametrically opposed to what Christ said, because it's about him putting up funds for him. It's about laying up for yourself treasure upon the earth where thieves and robbers and inflation and everything else can eat it up. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do it to the kingdom of heaven. And how do you do that? Is that everything you have is yours as far as we're concerned. Now, there may be other people who have claim on it, but we're not enforcement of that claim. We want you to make your yes, yes. We don't want you to be unrighteous. But I tell you, if you start walking in this path of taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, giving to do so, gathering to do so, to bless others, not simply to be blessed yourself, changes the flow of spirit. Now a new spirit can enter in to your temple, and your blood cells will know it, and they will move about accordingly. And there's lots of little corners in your body where evil can hide, so it's going to take some time. But that's okay. You've got some time. So anyway, his TDA account is not in heaven. And thieves and robbers can get in, and moths and inflation can eat it up. So anyway, I said that he should study Corbin, and we have pages on Corbin on His Holy Church and Preparing You, and I sent the links to the network there in New York. No, he was in New York. He was in the Carolina group. And, you know, Christian conflict. Why was there a Christian conflict? And if you go read the Imperial quote, you'll see that the same problem with the why the Christians were being persecuted began with Augustus Caesar, the first imperator of Rome. And we have connections on baptism and what benefactors are and the words you use and who the fathers of the earth were. And you can read these things and start getting these ideas straight in your head. And when you read them and you find out that you disagree with something that you read, contact your local ministers and say, I don't agree with this. I don't understand this. I need help understanding this. And they will try to find out the answer. And if they don't, then you know they're not the minister you need. You may need a different minister. And if they don't know, they can go to their minister and ask them. And a multitude of counselors try to figure out what the answer is. Or you can just go on your own. Not a good idea. Sinai is a dangerous wilderness. You need God, and God says you need to care about others. So you don't come together because you need others. You need others to care about. Now, the church belongs to Christ. You know, you hear the phrase all the time, His Holy Church and His Church. We're not the corporate body of His Holy Church, me. I mean, I'm not the corporate president or anything else. I'm just a guy like everybody else who's seeking to conform to Christ. And those people who conform to Christ will be a part of His church. Those who do not conform to Christ will not be. But it's His church. He gets to say whether you're in it or not. We don't tell you. Now, we may bear witness that we think you're in it. And if we get two or more witnesses that bear that witness, then we can treat it as an established fact until somebody withdraws their testimony. But of course, the person who is testifying, he may be wrong. And so we ultimately have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Is the people gathering at hisholychurch.org actually doing what Christ said? You don't just sign up and then you're in. You actually have to be a doer too. We're just striving to conform to the ways of Christ and His Holy Church. We're not a denomination except if Christ denominates us. The modern church has strayed from the ways of the early church. They actually swear by the genius of their leaders, saying they will take care of me. They will be my FEMA. They will be my benefactors. But the early church actually went to the lions, burned at the stake, because they said, we will not swear by the genius of the emperors. We will depend upon faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This was the dividing line between Christians and pagans. Today, it's still the dividing line between true Christians and phony, false, modern, deceived, delusioned Christians. People say, oh, you can't do it. It won't happen. People won't be charitable enough. Well, that's, oh, ye of little faith. His sheep hear His voice. We give you facts and information, but if you can't hear what we're talking about, then I don't think you can hear the voice of Christ, because He was talking about it all the time. I think you can repent and start hearing it, but that's going to take a step on your part, which takes us back to the first policy. Seek and ye shall find. If you don't seek, if you think you already know, you're not going to look. If you think you already see, your sin will remain. Recently on the groups, someone did not know some of what we were doing as ministers of His church. They assumed that somehow or other we were keeping secrets, even though every minister of record, was constantly being updated and informed as to the process of what we were doing. He didn't hear about it because he hadn't picked a minister of record. He was getting around to it. And that's why. It wasn't because we were keeping a secret. All the ministers knew, and they could tell any one of the congregations, you know, the basic information. That's the way a network works. And the reason we're doing that is you're going to need that network in the future. And we're going to talk about that and how that works, how it worked for the early Christians in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, and how it will work for Christians in the latter days during the decline and fall of the Babylonic empires of the world. When we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to the Keys of the Kingdom. I was trying to read through some emails that came in a while during the break. Always more and more drama coming in. And it's because we're dealing with actual real things in people's lives and real situations in their lives. And one of the difficulties is they're not always willing to deal with the bottom of their own hearts. And I say the bottom because they're willing to deal with some. They're on this journey, this path. And there are bumps and grinds. I mean, look at the apostles were together for years and we were still having, you know, right up to the wire, Jesus is saying, "Get ye behind me, Satan," to Peter. And who he had said, "Blessed art thou, Simon," you know, "because thou art a rock," you know. And then it's, "Get ye behind me, Satan," you know. So there, we have to clean out every corner of our souls. And we can't do it without the light of Christ coming into us. And that light isn't coming into us unless we have a humble, forgiving, and giving heart. So we're always back. This is why these policies are so important. But applying them is sometimes confusingly difficult because we're not as humble as we ought to be. And hopefully we'll get over that and get better and become more humble. But anyway, so if we go back to Mark 4:11, and it says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without are these things are done in parables." Because that's what the question was. They were asking about parables. So what are the mystery? What is the mystery of the kingdom of God? Well, what is the kingdom of God? And we have a webpage up on that at preparingyou.com, preparingyou.com. What is the kingdom of God? How does it work? How does it operate? What does it look like? Well, we've been telling you about that in the last couple of programs. But what are these mysteries? You know, it actually comes from mysterion is the Greek word, which is, you know, hidden things, secret things, mysteries, etc., etc. It actually comes from a Greek word, mou, which means shut the mouth. It's a secret. Don't tell. Don't tell. Keep it a secret. And it's very clear that in many cases where Christ said, before he would tell the Pharisees something, he says, "Well, let me ask you a question." And they didn't answer it. And he said, "Well, you tell me nothing, so I tell you nothing. You know, I won't tell you by what authority I do this, because you don't tell me by what authority John was." These are trap questions anyway, just like, you know, is it lawful to pay tribute? Why is that even coming up? Isn't he just a minister or a priest, itinerant preacher on the street? Why are they even bringing up tribute to Caesar? And why does Jesus make such a big deal out of the image? Whose face is on it? You know, because in their rules in the Pharisees about images, they're not even supposed to touch it. So he was just rubbing their noses in it because they were asking him. And of course, his whole ministry is about paying taxes. I mean, if you owe them, you have to pay them. But the tithe was a tax. It just wasn't forced. It was free will offering, so we call it tithe. When it's taxed, it's not free will offering anymore. I mean, it was free will when before you signed up, but once you signed up, you have to pay the tax. Unless we're talking about, you know, like you want to use a harbor, you'll be taxed on that. You know, there'll be fees for using that harbor, and those are excise taxes because they're taxes on the use. You're using the harbor, you got to pay for the use. You use the road, you got to pay the use. You use one of their cars, you have to pay a use tax, and they give you a little sticker to put on your car. Because you don't own it, you only have legal title, they own the beneficial interest, so therefore you want to use the beneficial interest, you must pay the tax. Property tax, the same way. Income tax, the same way. You don't own your labor anymore because you waived your right to a portion of your labor in order to become eligible for the benefits of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. That's just what you did. You say, well, I didn't know I was doing that. Why did you know you were doing that? Because you weren't going in the ways of Christ. You would have known. It wouldn't have been a mystery to you. But it was a mystery to you. It's not fraud. It's just, it was a mystery to you because you were stupid. You were foolish. Or your parents were foolish. Maybe your parents were foolish and they just sold you into bondage so that they could get deductions. And, you know, that's just the way it was. I mean, everybody who was in the bondage of Egypt at the time of Moses, they were there because of what their parents did. They didn't consent to it. Their parents sold them into bondage to get the benefits of that system. That's what they did. And they were in bondage. They want out of bondage? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way. Start taking care of one another. Stop looking to benefactors who exercise authority. Pretty common theme. Why? Because it opens up a spiritual floodgate. And that floodgate's going to make a difference. So anyway, we talked about it in the other program, and I talked about it in their post, that a personal contact minister is somebody you pick who volunteers to help you do what? Gather together and form congregations of record. That congregation of record, that minister, can actually receive funds for Christ, for his purposes, to take care of the needy. If he's just a minister of a congregation, he's not going to get paid a salary. This is voluntary on his part. If you give him anything, he should declare it if he owes a tax on his labor, because he's voluntarily giving up his labor, and if you pay him, then that has to be taxed. Now, I mean, you could pay for his gas money and, you know, buy him lunch, and, you know, if he's going to go on a mission, you can buy his ticket, you can do all those kinds of things, but a salary, you can't probably pay him because he's a member of a system where he has waived a right to a portion of his labor. Now, we could set it up so that if we had full-time ministers who are really not ordained ministers, but full-time ministers acting ex officio, and I know you won't all know what that means, and they needed, because they're working so many hours, they needed a salary. There's a way to set that up where they can be paid. But if they're a part of the Corbin of the United States, the Corby system of the United States, they need to pay the tax because they have agreements to pay the tax. And that's just the way it is. I mean, now there are certain special rules for different situations. They can opt out of Social Security and things like that, but they may still owe their labor tax if they're not ordained ministers. And I know a lot of that's going to go over your head, but this is all well documented out, and we train ministers up in how this works. But we only want to train up ministers who understand the basic policies of Christ. Love thy neighbor, forgive, give, care about one another as much as you care about yourself. You don't do these things, we don't want to teach you anything. Because you got to learn the basics first. And a lot of you know the basics because you just have giving hearts and you're a kind person. But then we want you also to know there are times not to give, just like there are times not to tell. There are things that are to be kept secret. But we didn't keep anything secret about some of the ministries that we've been starting. All the ministers know about them. And if you don't have a minister of record, you're not going to know about them. And we're not going to tell you all the details on the radio, because that's not the media we use to conduct church business. We're talking about preaching the keys of the kingdom. We're not going to open the door for you on the radio. Christ is the door. You have to seek. That has to be your policy, because that's Christ's policy. You have to ask, because that's Christ's policy. You have to serve, because that's Christ's policy. And then if you do those things, he will start opening up the door. Not just the physical door. He said, we're supposed to, as ministers of the gospel, Christ said, we're to maintain an entrance to the kingdom of God. He's the door. We don't swing the door open. He will do that for you, spiritually and physically. Now, why do I say that? We were talking, we mentioned the last two shows, cure for Ebola. Well, Christ had a cure for leprosy, and it didn't require pharmaceutica. You don't think he has a cure for Ebola or whatever other disease they come up with? Of course he does. You don't have access to it. He died so that you might be saved, but you haven't yet repented. You just go to church to feel good. Not good enough. So, what was the kingdom of God like generation to generation? It was families coming together as free assemblies to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And we have links on the pages showing you to explain these things in detail, including what Corbin was, why his kingdom was not of the world, and what he meant when he told Pontius Pilate that, what the covenants and constitutions have to do with the Bible, and which ones are biblical and which ones are not, and what elements must be in a biblical constitution, if you want one, which is really, you don't even need one, but if you want one, you have to put those five elements in there, and people don't do that. We also have links on what's a modern Christian, and what's public religion. Christians were killed because they would not join public religions of the state, which were systems of Corbin where they exercised authority. They did practice pure religion. They took care of their needy through Faith, Hope, and Charity, through a network of ministers who operated by Faith, Hope, and Charity in the perfect law of liberty. There are two types of welfare, and we have links that explain that as well in detail. One system of welfare operates on free will offerings. The other one operates on forced offerings. The ones that operates on forced offerings have men who call themselves benefactors, but they exercise authority. The one that operates on free will offerings, they are not to be that way. They are to take care of the needy of their society with free will offerings alone. Are you catching the distinction? People want to withdraw consent. You can't, and we have a link on that. You can't just withdraw consent because it's a mutual consent and there's debt involved. You need to stop consenting to the covetousness of your own heart and start consenting to the ways of Christ, which is the ways of forgiveness and sacrifice. And that's why we have all these, you can go to our page on Polybius. He saw this. Polybius saw this years before Christ. Because the Essenes were around for 300 years before Christ, preaching this same gospel. And they were doing it at the time of Christ. And if you actually hear their policies and then you go read Christ, and you say, well, man, this is almost exactly what Christ said. But it's not what the modern Christian says. The modern Christian has need of repentance. And, you know, I can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and I said quite a few extra talks there. But their government doesn't talk. Moses was only supposed to speak to the rocks. I'm speaking to the stones in your heart. Start giving to one another. Start gathering for the purposes of helping one another. I'm talking to the stones in your hard hearts. Start gathering together for the opportunity to forgive one another. You elders, start being the ministers of your minister, so that your ministers can be the minister to you and to your neighbor, instead of gathering together to feel good, to look good. Because your covetous practices have made you spiritually constipated so that you cannot heal the sick. Now, we had somebody who had doctor bills up to the point of $100,000, and through counseling and sharing information and support, the hospital bills were lowered. At last, I heard down to $18,000. We still had a negotiator that was going to actually volunteering to come in and even bring it down farther, because most hospital bills are padded tremendously to keep you frightened of hospitals. Of course, it isn't the bill that's probably the scariest thing there, and we'll talk about that on our show on Ebola, which will probably be the next show on another network, but we'll eventually make it available. because we're on other radio stations as well. This is our first radio station that where this is first broadcast, but we're on numerous radio stations, and I'm not going to mention them all, but you have to go to the network and find them out. And if you go to and join the Living Network, they'll even show you where all the audios are, and we cover all these different subjects. But when you start that, following the policies of Christ, the way of Christ, the spiritual energy of Christ will start flowing through you like a current. Right now, with some of you, we've already seen miraculous healings, and it's a trickle. It's just a trickle of the ways of Christ going to their life, and there's already results. But you have to make a real commitment to turn around and go the other way. You still have to start the sacrifice, not only for one another, but for the red heifer, for the foreign aid to other people outside in what we call our extended network. Because as I was talking in the first part of this two-part series here on the news of this week, there are people out there in the governments of the world who are not far from the kingdom, who are close to repentance. Their hearts are being stirred by a spiritual influence in the world, just as the wicked are aligning themselves more and more with the ways of wickedness. There are some people that are saying, I don't want to go that way. And they will be saved too. Even though they're not a part of our direct network, they are part of our extended network, because they will give us drink when we are thirsty. They will give us clothes when we are naked. They will give us shelter when we are homeless. They will visit us when we are in prison. And by those acts, Christ will forgive them. But by those of you who just go to church to feel good, he's going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity, because of what? Your covetous practices. And you need to repent. You need to turn around. Another article we just put up is The Higher Liberty. We put it up on Preparing You. If I get another finger here, I'll pull it up. And we won't have time to go through the whole thing, but it was talking about this word excusia, and there was this long debate with somebody on Facebook. I won't mention any names. Some people, although his name is mentioned in here, just his first name, kind of. But it was on this word, and he was a Greek scholar, and he was trying to pull the old koine thing out and everything, and he was pointing out that he actually said 103 times, and it's not actually true. The word appears about 93 times in the New Testament. Excusia, which we see in Romans 13, which is translated power in some translated civil government. And of course, it doesn't mean civil government. It means the right to choose. That's what it means. That's how it's defined. Now, the civil government may have the right to choose for you, but that's because you gave it to civil government to choose for you, in order usually to get benefits. But it means the right to choose. And the original right to choose was given to you. You were endowed by God with the right to choose. Now, if you make the wrong choice, like choose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there will be repercussions. You have the right to make the wrong choice, but you do not have a right to escape from the repercussions of that. If you choose to go down this path or that path or follow this way of sin or that way of sin, you will reap the rewards of that sin. But you have the right to choose the wrong choice, and you will suffer for it. And that's what the word is about. Paul wants you to stay subject to the original right to choose, the original right to choose for yourself. But most people have given up that right to choose, and somebody else will choose for them. That you don't. Your government doesn't depend on free will offerings. You don't have that right to choose. They tell you what you're going to have to give. That's because you made an agreement with them to give them your right to choose. And you did this so that they would provide for you benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And that was the covetous practices that has now cursed your children and made you merchandise, as Peter talks about. That's where you're at. Okay. If you want to find your way back, you need to understand the ways of Christ. And so anyway, in that THL Appendix 1 at preparingyou.com, you can read the whole thing and what that word really stands for. Because he was saying that it always means civil government and power whenever they're talking about the power, you know, if using this word exousia. What he doesn't tell you is that most of the time when the word appears in the Bible, it's talking about the power of Christ. That's right. It's talking about the power of Christ. 51 times or more is specifically related to Jesus' power. So did Jesus have the power of civil government? Absolutely. He was the king. That's right. That's why he could fire the money changers with his string whip. That's what he was doing, firing. He wasn't tipping over tables. He was turning the tables over to somebody else. He didn't appoint the new ones because by Judaic law, the way you get to be the porter of the temple, the money changers of the temple, see, when you went in, and this is where we started in this series, when you went in to give your produce, your sheep, your oils, your grains, whatever it was that you were going to lay on the altar of sacrifice, he would be able to turn that. If he says, well, we got too much grain, you know, what we're short on is, you know, we need bedding for all our Ebola victims, you know, all our leprosy victims. He could sell some of the grain and buy bedding. He was a money changer. He was a porter. He was a gatekeeper. He said what we need and what we don't need, and he could move things in and out of the gate. This is what the job of the government was. And as a government minister, of course, then it was free will offerings. But under Herod, it was no longer free will offerings. They were forcing you to pay. Now, there were still free will offerings in existence, but there was a lot of force involved. They had Gabbai and Molochai tax collectors out there. And we mention these in the books and show you, you know, how they were operating, at least enough so you can get the picture. But the power was Christ. But you know what he did with that power? He gave it back to the people. He says, you guys, here's the men I'm going to elect to be the ministers of my government. I appoint unto you a kingdom. To who? To the little flock. To these ministers of his holy church. And then he said, you give to them according to the leading of your heart and according to the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God working in your heart. And they will take care in pure religion your widows and orphans and needy and sick and of your society. And you know what happened? They would sometimes just touch a person and they would be healed. Why? Because there's another spiritual energy flowing through them. We call it virtue in one place in the Bible. But it's because they have followed the virtues of Christ. They have stopped coveting their neighbor's goods. They started laying down their life for others. And they were given life more abundant. And that life more abundant that they were given was able to heal the faithful in a moment. Which really brings your hospital bills down. In a moment, they were healed. But anyway, we'll have to talk more about this on another show, probably on another network, next time on Keys to the Kingdom. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.